Turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. It's good to see you this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I got old. I have a lot of notes. That's because I'm forgetful. I think I've told you how I know it's not dementia. I mean, it is dementia and not Alzheimer's. If I had Alzheimer's, I wouldn't remember that I'd forgotten. That gives me comfort. I walk around the house wondering, what was I coming in here for? I'm going to read just three or four verses out of Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 14, just 14, 15, and 16 before I preach today. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for so many blessings you've given us, and we thank you especially for this word we have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us truth. You've given us the opportunity to know you and to know that our sins are forgiven, and all by your grace and all by your mercy, not of any of our deserts. Give me a freedom and an ease to preach as only you can give. Bless every heart that listens, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
About 20 years after I got saved, Bernine and I took a vacation. And we took a vacation, and the one main thing we wanted to do at the very beginning of that vacation was visit the different people that had been an influence in my life. People that helped me to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And we found quite a few of them. Some of them had moved to different towns, had to go to different towns to find them. But we found them. And the friend that I had, Bob Morgan, he was retired from military, and he was up living in a little bitty town just south of Dallas. And we had a good time of fellowship with him. Then we went on, and I found that my old pastor, well, he was 60 when I was 20, and he was 80, I guess, when I was 40, something like that. And he was still alive, and he was in Roswell, and I got to go by and visit him and thank him for the influence he'd been on my life. I'm a debtor. That's what Paul said here. I'm a debtor. And I want to, that's been on my mind for the last two or three weeks. I'm a debtor. Now, I found that preacher, and I thanked him for his influence. I thanked him for what he stood for. I thanked him for having a church that had a revival in it. I thanked him for what he influenced me and changed my life. I thank old Bob Morgan. He was not a witness. He did not know the gospel. He had just gotten saved himself. But he came over to me and he said, Lendell, I want to bring a fellow by to talk to you. And I said, okay. And so he brought a preacher by. Now, I even found this preacher. Now, you know, I've studied a lot of English. I was a school teacher, and I've got a master's in English. I still sound like a hick, don't I? You know, I'm Central Texas country. That's all right. Well, this fella, he sounded like a hick, too. He was New Mexico hick. But he had a college education and whatever, but he was a good man. And he came by and spent 3 hours of his time one night with me. And then when I was ordained to preach the gospel, I was ordained in New Mexico, and it was in his church. It was a much smaller church than the big one I was attending. But I wanted to go by and thank him, and he wasn't in Roswell anymore. He was teaching college at another town. And I went by, and I got a hold of him. I found him. I found him at his job, and then I went to his house. And I thanked him for coming by and spending 3 hours with a smart aleck 20-year-old. Witnessing to me, talking to me. What a blessing. Well, I was able to find them. Now, I told them I was in their debt. Who are you in debt to? Somebody. You didn't come up on this all by yourself. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody prayed over you. Somebody gave you a gospel tract. Somebody brought the gospel to light in your life. You have a debt. And Paul's saying, I'm a debtor. It's an unusual debt. But I pastored an old church called Midway Baptist Church, built out of battery boxes in World War II. And it was in bad shape. Wasn't in good shape. The building wasn't. But man, we had some revival there. I got into a group of 16 to 20 year olds. There's 10 or 12, 14 of them. And they were just partying all the time. Just partying, drinking and sex and everything. Just all among themselves. And I won several of them to the Lord. And they began to come to church. And they came and they made professions of faith and whatever. Years later, I was a knock at my door right out on off of San Pedro. And I went to the door and one of those came by to thank me. He came by to thank me. He was a journeyman electrician. He just followed electrical jobs all over the United States. He'd been a place 6 months, another place 3 months, and so on and so forth. And he came by and he said, I was saved. You led me to the Lord. I'm still tithing. I tithe whatever church I'm going to. I go to church everywhere, every town I go to. And he said, I put my tithe in on that church that's there. And I just wanted to drop by and say thank you. Wow, that was a pleasant meeting for me, in case you didn't know. Paul says, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I've been thinking about that a whole lot this last month or so. I'm a debtor to an awful lot of people. Have you ever thought about it? Maybe the people that didn't go out and pass out tracts and didn't go out and preach on the street and didn't teach a Sunday school class, but they came regular and they filled their seat and they kept the church open. You're a debtor to the people that have kept this church open so you could be preached to today. I'm a debtor to people who kept the churches going and to brought a revival. Man, really? You realize how valuable the gospel is? What we do is not nothing. What we do is preach the eternal salvation of God Almighty all by God's grace. And maybe there are little bitty towns. I pastored in a bunch of little towns when I was going to college and before I came here, when I finished up and came to San Antonio. Sometimes there are not 10 people in those little churches. Maybe 25. But somebody's going there every Sunday. And they're cleaning the building. And they're putting it up. And they're teaching a Sunday school class. And they're inviting people to come. I remember one day when I was pastoring in West Texas. I saw a big diamondback rattlesnake crossing the dirt road. And I put my car and I slid my tires over him, because you got to slide them or else they'll just pop back up. And I killed that rattlesnake. And then I went on down the road and made a visit, and a guy made a profession of faith. And I was so happy. What a great day. Kill a snake and save a soul. That's a good day, man. You don't get that on every day. You don't get to kill a rattlesnake every day, and you don't get to see a person get saved every day. You know something? I'm a debtor to all the people that taught Sunday school classes. I'm a debtor to the people that kept the doors open, even if they just had a few people and their ministry was somewhat discouraging, they kept on going for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm a debtor to them. Paul said, I'm a debtor. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm a debtor to the Greeks. What did he owe the Greeks? I'm a debtor to the barbarians. Now I understand, see, these all people, And the people in the generations past, I'm a debtor to a grandmother Kincaid that gave me Bible stories all of my life as a little bitty baby. I'm a debtor to my family that had a Bible in the house and went to church. We went to church on Sunday mornings. We all hardly ever went to a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a revival meeting or anything like that. But went to Sunday school and church. My family did. There was a Bible in my house. I knew my dad and mom believed that Bible. They believed it was the Word of God, and I was told Jesus Christ was God, and He died for us, paid our debt. I'm a debtor to my family. I'm a debtor to America. We have had the greatest opportunity of freedom to preach the gospel of any nation that's ever been. And if you want to know something, anybody in America does not stand a chance of having an excuse. We got so many different kinds of Christianity. If you don't like us because we're too hard, mean, or whatever, just go down the road a little bit. There'll be somebody there who'll give you Coke and donuts and coffee and all of that and have a real good time with you, and they'll have a Bible around too. We're debtors. Now, what about the barbarians? I don't owe the barbarians anything. What about the great educated peoples? The Greeks, sophisticated people. What did Paul owe to them? He owed what you owe to every other human being. And you owe it too. Can you possibly be in a hotel and it's on fire and you not yell fire? You not knock on some doors and say, the building's on fire, everybody get out. We see it all the time. Somebody wakes up and they help them out. Why? Just because they're another person that's going to die. You and I were born and we're going to die. I'm amazed I'm not dead yet. But praise the Lord. If He gives me another day, I'm going to preach another time. Until the dementia takes over. And I can't do it. When I can't read even, well then I'll maybe throw in the towel. To the Greeks and to the barbarians. To the educated and to the uneducated. To the bums on the streets. To the professors in college. Yeah, they've got souls too. They're too smart for their own good. And they think they're smarter than you. But let me tell you something. If you believe the Bible and you believe in God and you believe in Jesus Christ and you get your soul saved, you're smarter than all of them. None of them have anything on you. They can look down their nose at you, but here He says, I'm debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. I tell you something. Because I am a human being just like you, and I know the way of salvation, I'm indebted, I'm compelled, I'm moved to reach you. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Or don't you have a responsibility to people around you when you know the truth or you know the danger and that you ought to let them know what's going on? You do. You are a debtor. You're a debtor to people you've never even seen. Just because they're human beings and you've got the truth. I knocked on many, many doors in my life. And I've seen people inside, they didn't want to talk to me. And some of them were my church members that didn't want to talk to me. And I walk away from the door, and I think in my heart, you don't know what you turned down. Because you see, I'm nothing, but I have a message that's something. I'm not anybody special, but man, I can introduce you to somebody who is very special. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. God walking around in the flesh. The one that paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. As a serviceman refueling airplanes in the Strategic Air Command for 4 years, I mess with fuel all the time. And a guy died in my place on my run on my truck. And it woke me up. 20-year-olds can die too. And you know what? What a blessing. What a blessing for me. I sure hope that old boy was saved. I hope so. He was a friend, but I didn't know whether he was saved or not, but he came out of Tennessee and they got a lot of gospel down in Tennessee. But I got saved. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me. I haven't ever got over it. I'm still giving my testimony. Half of you can give my testimony better than I can, because you've heard it over and over again. What am I doing? I'm still thanking God. God saved my soul. God changed my life. God probably saved my marriage. We had a wonderful marriage. Wow, I tell you what, but God moved upon my life and my wife's life. Changed our lives. Wow, what a change. What a blessing. But I've got truth. And I've got truth that the world needs. And if I've got that kind of truth and I see people that don't have it, I need to give it away. I'm indebted to them. Because of the gospel that I have and I receive freely, I have a debt. I have a responsibility that need to be reached out to other people that are going to die. You know what you're going to happen? What's going to happen to you? You're going to die. You may not die at 20 years old, but you may die at 60. You might die at 40. You might die at 55. You might go to 110 or 112. But you're still going to die. Amen. I've got a message for dying people.
Amen.
I've got a message that can change the rest of your life.
Amen.
God did something to me. God did something for me. God has done something through me. I'm a debtor. And I believe you're a debtor too.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 9:18 says, what is my reward then? This is Paul again. Verily that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge. We don't emphasize money. We don't ever pass a plate. There's a box back there. We want you to give. You have been one of the most giving churches I have ever pastored, ever been around. And I thank the Lord for you. All the time I thank the Lord. Wow. You remember what we just went through this year? Look at this. We don't owe a dime. Because God's people gave. Now, I don't know how much you gave. You might have given a dollar, or you might have given 1,000, or you might have given 10 or 15,000. I just don't know. But thank God that we've got people here that love the gospel and want to see it spread. And want to keep these doors open so somebody can walk in here and walk out saved. They can do that. Many have. You know what he said? I want to make it preach the gospel without charge. Well, that's what we do. We don't charge you to come in. We don't charge any price for our teaching or our education or our help or whatever. It's free and it's open and you're welcome. And we go out here and I have knocked on the doors in this community neighborhood several times. All of them. I passed out tracts to them. And we've seen some people saved. Praise God. Every time you see one person saved, it's a miracle where God comes down and changes a life. It's not just a matter of joining a church or being baptized in water or starting to tithe or give or whatever, have to go out on the streets or whatever. No, it's not about that. It's about the grace of God that He has a message for you that will forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life forever. I know some of you think about it like some of the guys at in my military base. I was a little bit on the rough side. And you know, when I got saved, they said, oh, it won't last but a couple of weeks. Gonna be 63 years September 1st. Some of you aren't that old. Praise the Lord! I'm amazed I'm still here. But as long as I'm here, I owe you. I owe you. I owe you the message that you need to find Christ.
Amen.
Because I know the Word of God, I have a debt. I have a debt to put that Word out. Awful lot of people think their opinion of the Bible is what's important. Your opinion isn't important, I'm sorry. It's what does the Bible say, not what you think it says. What does it say? If you get the idea that that is the Word of God and hold it as an authority over you and your beliefs and your house and your dress that you wear, or the clothes that you wear, or the attitude, or the words that come out of your mouth, every bit of it, God Almighty is looking in. What a wonderful thing to have the Bible in your hands. And then to know it. Understand it. Acts chapter 26, 18 says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that's in me. Wow. You want to get your eyes open? My eyes opened up. I went to church. I listened to preachers. I knew good preachers from bad preachers. I knew some people who could get their point across and some people who couldn't. I enjoyed listening to good preachers, but I didn't want to go to church all the time. But my wife had gotten saved at 16 and she went to church all the time. And so I figured she was a better Christian than me, and so I joined the Baptist church with her. And they baptized me. Do you believe in Christ? Yes, I believe in Christ, but I still wouldn't say. Out there in Roswell, New Mexico, I got a hold of a church in revival. You know what that takes? It takes something out of you. It's not just the preacher. You hear me? It's not just the preacher. It's people getting right with God and the Holy Spirit moving. You need to be getting right with God. I need to be getting right with God. How much time do we have? I don't have a clue. But I tell you what I do know. I need to have you open your eyes. And I need to have the world open their eyes. I need to have people that come in open their eyes to the truth of salvation. What a change. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I have a compelling in me. Maybe that's a debt. I have a compelling in me to preach the gospel, to try to reach lost people, to try to keep people from going to hell. You know what? I don't like hell. I don't even like preaching about hell. If I could scare the hell out of you, I would. You understand me? That's the truth. Hell is a place I don't want to go. It's a place I don't want you to go. I think it's a very terrible curse when you tell somebody to go to hell. You don't know what you're saying. We don't want anybody to go to hell, but there's a bunch of them going, and maybe some of you sitting right in here right now, you're going because you won't open your eyes and take Christ as your Savior. You won't seek God and make it a real business thing important to your life. It's the most important thing you've got. Eternal life? Life. Wow. What is life like? All my pleasure comes from life. Isn't yours? What is it you have pleasure in? If you're dead, could you? No. No. You big dummy, the most important thing you've got is life. And this life can go into eternal life. Wow. That's a big gift. This life's going to end. One of these days they're going to throw me in a casket and drop me down in a hole in the ground and put dirt over my face. I won't be in there.
Amen.
Jesus saved my soul and changed my life. And when I go out of this body, I'm going straight to the Lord. Not because I'm good, not because I preach, not because of anything I've done, but because Jesus Christ paid my debt to God.
Amen.
And He entered my life and changed it. He did change it. I would be really worried if I didn't have any changes in my life. And I think you ought to be a little worried if you don't have any changes and you claim to be a Christian. Something wrong. Something wrong. Maybe you're deformed. Some children are born deformed. Maybe you're deformed. But I tell you what, God changes what He moves on. If God touches your life, if God enters your heart, He'll make some changes. You need to know it. Necessity is laid unto me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, for though I be free from all men, and I am, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. What a man! I'm free, but I make myself a servant. Are you too proud to serve? Are you too proud to serve? Even serve somebody that you don't think is up to your standards or up to your race or your government or whatever. Paul said, I made myself servant unto all. I'm your servant for Jesus' sake. That's what he said. That's a pretty good statement. Your servant for Jesus' sake. I made myself servant unto all. Now in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know what the will of the Lord is? That the gospel be preached in all the world. It's God's will that we preach the gospel right here. It's God's will that you preach it in Poland. It's God's will that you preach it in Mexico. It's God's will that you preach it out here on the street. What is God's will? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We haven't got that job done yet. It's not over. That's still a great big job. It's almost impossible, it seems like. And yet God gave us that command, and by the grace of God, we've got people saved in Poland now. By the grace of God, we've got a whole lot of them saved in Mexico. By the grace of God, there's a whole lot of them saved in San Antonio. You're saved. You're saved. Praise God for salvation.
Yeah, amen.
You know something? Romans 1:20 says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. We got a bunch of people today, they think they are smarter than everybody else. And yet, what this says here, that the things of the world, the creation of the world, is clearly seen, understood by the things that are made. When you look at how well this world runs, you look at how well your body runs, you look at how the stars and all the things are in order, you look at this old world is still turning around. It's turning around. And it's going all around, and the sun comes up every day. That's the faithfulness of God. For you to take that, or even to take DNA. To me, once they came out with DNA, I said, wow. Now, I don't understand it all. I don't know why I'm bald in certain places. I don't know why there's a lot of things. I'm fat, or I'm strong, or I'm weak, or I'm ugly, or I'm... God loves variety, I know that much. Because all of us sure aren't pretty, are we? Now, Hollywood, they got a bunch of pretty ones, but they're not too pretty inside. But they're real pretty on the outside. God Almighty a creator God, a God with a brain bigger than you, created all this. They don't just happen. These chairs, do you think they just popped up one day? No, there's a factory out there in California somewhere, I think, where I called them and said, I want so many chairs, I want the blue, I want so and so, and they said, yes, sir. And I sent them a check and they sent me the chairs. You know what they're a testimony to? A chair-making company. A chair-making company. You know what you're a testimony to? A human-making God. Amen. You don't believe in God? Look, Paul, 1900 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago when he was preaching to these people, they said they were so smart, they didn't believe God. Is that something? It says here, the invisible things, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Romans 1:20. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look in the book of Acts chapter 17. I'm going to be there for several verses. Acts 17:23, Paul is talking. As I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Now these people had in this park all sorts of references to different gods. They worshiped many different gods. And they figured, what if a god comes along and you don't find his name there? You ever thought about that? What about a god came in and his name, you're going to make him mad. Here's what we'll do. The city council had to go across this here, you know. They had to vote on this. They might have had to buy it. Let's put up a statue. Let's put up a memorial to the unknown God, the one that didn't mention. They got all these gods. There's only one God.
Amen.
There's one God. But they put it up to the unknown God. And so Paul said, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare unto you. Now listen to his description of God. Verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing his Lord of heaven and earth dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Wouldn't that be sensible? Anybody that could make you, anybody that could make the mountains, anybody that could make the Grand Canyon, anybody that could make the stars out there, anybody that could keep this world just going and going and going and going and still going, he doesn't need your house. You can't build a house for him. You can't give him food. It doesn't matter what you bring. He's above and beyond all that. Can't you tell by the things that are made? This is a super brain with a super power. He's one God, and he created it all.
Amen.
He's so big. He's so big. He does not need you or me.
Amen.
Why he wants our fellowship, I don't know. I got the best job in the world. I work with people. I got the worst job in the world. I work with people. Do you understand me?
Amen.
If you ever had a job like mine, you'd understand it. I wouldn't be president of this country for anything. They couldn't give me the job. Every decision I'd make, I'd have 200 million people against me. Isn't that something? I don't want that. Here he is. God that made the world and all things therein. That's a big God. That's a very smart God. The other day in my living room, a little 6-inch snake, it might be a worm, but it sure looked like a snake. Black, it starts skirting across my living room. And I say, what? No, no, no. And so I go around starting to stamp it. And I'm stomping on this thing, but it's on a rug. So I'm not doing any good. I'm stomping it. I'm having to go get it here. You know, I don't move too quickly right now. I finally got him into a piece of paper and went to the back door and pitched him out. And I got him on cement, and then I squished him. Do you know how many snakes are out there? There's a bunch. I used to have fun hunting on our farm, hunting for snakes. I had a like to kill. I killed squirrels. I killed rabbits. I killed fish. I killed turtles. You ever eat any of that stuff? Actually, it's pretty good. I had a snake there, and I couldn't get it done. Now, God Almighty made all sorts of things. You, Billy's preaching on sex and dress and whatever. You know why there's sex? To keep the race going. God's got it down. He's got all these boys out here with lust. Got all the women that they're lusting after. It's natural. It's natural. He's keeping babies coming. There are 9 billion people on the face of the earth today. You know why? Sex. Now let me tell you something. That works with cows. It works with snakes. It works with fish. It works with bacteria in your own body. You know? Yeah, it is. There's male and female. It works with bees and it works with birds and it gets all sorts of things. Yes, to keep the race going. The race is multiplying all the time. That is absolutely wonderful. That is a terrific thing. It really is. That kind of a God that could make little black snakes 6 inches long in my living room. He makes an awful lot of things. We don't even know all that's in that ocean. We don't know what all the bacteria are in the jungles. Maybe there's another root like an aspirin. That was just a discovery of some jungle root that the natives chewed on for pleasure. That's the way a whole lot of these things are. We haven't near discovered it. And yet, you live in the most prosperous, intelligent country with the most freedom of any people that have ever lived in the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you know that?
Thank you, Lord.
Do you know that? That's where you live.
Amen.
That's where I was born. That's where I was raised up. I love it. Do you know something? Most of the people in the world never understood your things. And today, you've got there in your little phone you've got on you. I hate them. I still got a flip phone, excuse me. You got the Library of Congress in your hand. Do you realize how many books that is? You have the ability to turn off your lights at home from here. You've got television. You can see the Grand Canyon. You've got so many things, and we've got more doctors, PhDs, THDs, than ever in history. And they are so smart. They think they're so smart. Some of them change the Bible every week. They're just smarter than the Bible. Did you see what I was reading? They had the same bunch of jerks back in Paul's day. They think they're so smart. They're the wise. And God says they are so wise in the wisdom that God gave them, they denied God. They're doing it right today. They think they're so smart because they can work a computer or they got a phone with all. That's a great invention, I'm imagining. When I went to Guatemala, the Walkman was around. You remember what a Walkman was? You put a little cassette in a little player and you put a bud in your ear. And back there, those native Indians, Mayan Indians in Guatemala, 28 tribes there. They had the bud in their ear, listening to the music from that Walkman. with an ikapal, which is a head strap on a rope, and about four cases of Cokes, carrying them back into the bush where there's no ice so they could sell them. That was his business. That's what he did to live. Isn't that amazing? Didn't have shoes. Had a hat. Hat was important. Shoes weren't important. Boy, they had big feet. They had calluses on their feet like you wouldn't believe. And a bunch of sweet people up here in the United States sent them thousands of shoes. What do you think happened to their feet after they got through wearing the shoes? They didn't have the calluses anymore. They couldn't afford to buy shoes. They couldn't afford to buy any more shoes. Now then they're in trouble. You should have left them alone. These people in Paul's day were so smart that they didn't believe in God. That's what it says. We got the same bunch right now. You send your kid to a Christian college, you think you're going to give him a Christian education, they're going to teach him evolution in your Christian colleges. They're going to teach him to change the Bible in your Christian colleges. I speak Greek. I took Greek in college. Okay, did you take Spanish in high school? Can you speak Spanish? No, you can't. You know better. Just because you took Greek in college, that doesn't mean you can correct the Bible. You're an idiot. But being an idiot says right here, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. Every one of you today has been given by God life, breath, and all things. You wouldn't have it if God hadn't wanted you to have it. It's there. It says in, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. See, and he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. You know what? If you're black, you can give blood to a white person. If you're white, you can give blood to a red person. If you're yellow, you can give blood to what? One blood. And the Bible just declares it right there. And it took two more thousand years for the doctors to understand that thought. Wow. It says in Acts 17:27 that they should seek the Lord. They should seek the Lord. If it happened to them, I'd feel after him and find him, though it be not far from every one of you. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your prophets have said. We're also his offspring. For as much then as we, looking at us, are the offspring of God. Made in the image of God. It says that in verse 29. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone graven by man's. Wow. By what you see, you ought to understand some spiritual truth. God is a whole lot bigger than you ever thought he was. And you owe him a whole lot more than you know. It says in verse 30, times this way ignorance God winked at. But now, what is it now? What was it 2,000 years ago? 1,900 years ago. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know what he's commanded you to do? Not laugh at the preaching, repent.
Amen.
Not laugh and joke and think, well, I'm all right. I'm going to slip in. There's no God. God doesn't see. God sees in the dark. Turn out the lights and you think you're all right. No, you're not all right. God sees. He knows what you're going to think before you think it.
Amen.
I'm a debtor.
Amen.
I owe an awful lot to an awful lot of people that I've got saved. And my life has been a grand adventure. I've been blessed far beyond my deserts and far beyond my reckoning anyway. God has been sweet and good to me. He gave me eternal life when I was 20 years old. And I surrendered to preach. And I've been preaching, and you know I've had more fun preaching. I was so worried about getting saved because I thought all my fun was going to go away. Well, some of it did. But oh, not all my fun.
Amen.
No, I've had a ball.
Amen.
I've had a ball. I've been blessed by God. You need to be saved. If you're not saved here, you need to be saved. If you're saved, you need to rededicate your life. You need to get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry I've let you down so many times. Forgive me, I'm going to start all over again. You need to pray to God Almighty and ask Him to forgive you for you're just ignoring Him when He's with you every day of your life, blessing you, keeping your old heart still pumping. And some of you know you don't deserve to be pumping right now.
Amen. Amen.
But God's been merciful. God has been so good. The love of God constrains us. Christ died in our place. He paid our debt. Now we're debtors to Him. We're debtors to Him. Do you ever pay back your debts? Well, this is one bigger than you can pay back. But you ought to try. A lot of things I couldn't pay back for my dad, but I could go to him and say, thank you, Dad. If you had a good mother and father, you ought to thank God that you had a good mother and father. Some people didn't. Some people don't today. God saved your soul and changed your life, giving you all the food you need to eat so much you can get fat on it. You ought to thank God. You're in His debt. You belong to Him. You don't belong to you.
Amen.
You belong to Him.
Amen.
He bought you. He bought you with the blood of Jesus Christ. He bought you with the righteousness that He gave to you. He printed it on you so that you are in the righteousness of Christ. Wow. No human being thought that up. That's God.
Amen.
Are you saved? Oh, I hope you're saved. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything like that. Are you saved? How about living like it?
Amen.
Are you saved? How about being thankful? Are you really thankful? Does it show? Can anybody tell you're actually thankful to God Almighty? And to the people He had that influenced your life. I know I'm a debtor. I've been feeling that way this month strongly. I did before because it was years ago when I was about 40 when I looked up the people that helped me first when I got saved. Don't be like the stupid, educated people, the Greeks. They think they're so smart. And because of the computer, because of the way the finances, the way the economy is going, because of all of the abundance, going to HEB, they got 100 types of beans. They got so much. We are so rich, so blessed. It's an amazing thing. The rest of the world can't even understand it. We ought to be humbled. We ought to be thankful. We ought to serve God. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not saved and you know it. He can save you today. He can save you today. Today, your life can change from what it was. All you have to do is believe. Just believe what He says. He said, confess your sins, and I'll forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Wow. Wow. You know you're a sinner. I've met a few idiots that think they're not sinners. They are idiots. I don't care if they're educated. They're very educated idiots. The Bible says, back in the Psalms, David probably, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Can you look around and you think you are an accident of nature? You think you were a little polypop down in the water somewhere, your ancestors were? No, you are a creation of God. You have a mind and you have a soul and you have a spirit. You are an evidence that God is a creator. Amen. And that there is a God. And with all the varied things, all of the animals that are out there, wow, it's a fascinating creation. Praise God. I'm a debtor. You're a debtor. If God's spoken to your heart, you have something you need to do, you're welcome. We're going to sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's stand. I think that's 249, isn't it? 249. If you have a burden, if you need to get saved, come up here and grab my hand and tell me. I want to pray and call on the Lord. I'll be glad to pray with you, or I'll get somebody that can hear you better and he'll pray with you. If God's touched your heart about any need that you have and you need to get right with God, then by all means respond to the Holy Spirit. As we sing this song, this altar is open. Thy blood was shed for me. Wow. Sing it out. Has the Spirit of God spoken to your heart? Will you do His will, whatever that is? Oh,